Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kritis. Today is August 12th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Hope everyone enjoyed their weekend. So a lot to get to today because a lot took place last week in the markets. I know I was off on Friday, was not able to do a look ahead on Sunday. So a lot has transpired. Front and center is the news surrounding Jeffrey Epstein. Of course, his suicide yet to be fully determined. If it actually is, there was an autopsy, but has he actually been classified that it was a suicide? Even if it was a suicide or foul play of some sort, how did it happen? We're going to talk about that a little bit. But first, we're going to get to the markets because this, something's given. I don't know what it is, but something is most definitely wrong. Our volatility model that we talk about all the time is still flashing the same signals that it has been for quite a while. I am still sticking with it. I believe it is valid. I believe it is something that I am going to continue to look at, and it's going to hold weight. It is going to continue to hold weight along with a number of other metrics that we talk about here on a daily basis. The video presentations that we have put together, I know there's only a couple up there so far, but I am working on others. I anticipate having at least one more out this week, hopefully two, that will continue our discussion on indicators that are flashing an end of a cycle, peak expansion, and the start of a recession. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a hard landing or something nasty. However, I believe that this one is going to be quite the doozy simply because we've had low interest rates for an extremely long period of time. The amount of malinvestment that exists the world over, it's astronomical. These debt chickens are going to come home to roost. Central bankers are trapped. They don't have to be trapped, but they're not going to come out and tell you the truth that they've messed up, that they have been embarking on an economic experiment for the past decade, and they messed up. They are not going to come clean. So they are going to continue to do what they've been doing for the past decade. That is cutting interest rates. That is zero interest rate policy. That is negative interest rate policy. That is quantitative easing. However, I do imagine this time around they will change the name. They will come up with some other PR gimmick. It will be debt monetization, just like quantitative easing was and is. But they're going to give it another name. That's my guess. So, what took place today in the markets? The S&P lost 35.5 points, a decline of 1.2%. The Dow lost 390 points, a loss of 1.5%. The NASDAQ lost 96, a loss of 1.2%. And the Russell 2000 lost 19.5 points, a loss of 1.3%. The Dow Jones Transports was down 1.8%. The New York Stock Exchange lost 1.3%. Again, right in par with our volatility model. For the sake of argument, ladies and gentlemen, we have about 5 months left in the year, the rest of August, September, October, November, December. For the sake of simplicity, let's say there's 20 trading days per month. We got 5 months left. Nice round, even number of 100. We have 100 trading days left this year for the sake of argument. If we look at our volatility model, what does this tell us? If we look at the Russell 2000 and NASDAQ, it tells us that we are expecting the same level of volatility at a minimum as which we have already witnessed throughout this year. So it's just going to be a continuation of trend at a minimum on the Russell 2000 and the NASDAQ. Now you flip that over to the Dow and the S&P 500, we're not even close to where the model would predict we should be right now or where we are going to be by year end. In order for the model to hold water this time around, to claim that this time is not different, the S&P 500 and the Dow, their volatility would have to skyrocket. It would have to increase at a rate of at least two times what it has already experienced this year, if not three times. So that would mean, if we have 100 days left, every other day or every third day is going to be an increase of 1% or greater, or a loss of 1% or greater. And if we look at this, the history of this model, most of that volatility, most of those days are down days. Now, could this time be different? Is the melt-up still a possibility? Sure. If central banks really put the pedal to the metal and for some reason everybody believes that that's going to save things, I mean, you'd be out of your mind to believe that, but we have been in a market that has been out of its mind for quite a while, so that's still a possibility. I don't put a lot of weight to it, but it's quite possible. What you're more likely to see is probably a retest of December's lows, 2018. That's my anticipation, because we are seeing a flight to safety in the bond market. We have near record lows on the 10-year and the 30-year treasury. We have a near inversion of the yield curve between the 2-year treasury and the 10-year treasury. We've talked about the yield curve for months here. It has been inverted on the 3-month treasury and the 10-year treasury, but it has not yet inverted on the 10 and the 2. We are extremely close to inversion. When you see a yield curve inversion, this is predicting a recession. It is predicting market sell-offs, a slowdown in the economy. This is what it does, ladies and gentlemen. It is not wrong. A lot of people out there on the mainstream financial press want to come out and they want to put lackeys out there and they say, well, you know what? This time's different. I've told you a million times. When you hear people come out and say, this time's different, you run for the hills. You don't listen to them. You go say, well, what did this guy just say? I'm going to bet against him. I'm going to bet against that guy. And guess what? You're going to be right more times than not. Believe me when I tell you. Oil is trading at $54.80. That's WTI. Brent, the international metric, is at $58.50 a barrel. Gold, I believe we are in the midst of a bull market when it comes to the precious metals. This is an early on phase of this bull market. It can most definitely pull back to retest from technical standpoint to see if this thing does have legs. That's what markets do. They never go straight up and they never go straight down. There's always retests and technical things that take place in these markets. But net-net, I strongly believe that gold and silver are in the midst of a new bull market. Gold is trading at $1,515 an ounce. Silver is trading at $17.33 an ounce. Remember, it wasn't that long ago, folks, when we were saying silver was below $15 an ounce, and 15 is right about that break-even cost to get it out of the ground and for miners to just break even. So now it's above break-even cost for most mining companies. You have central banks going ballistic. They're going to be cutting interest rates. They're going to be embarking on quantitative easing or something of the like. Precious metals are a safe haven. They're a hedge against whatever you want to call it. Maybe you want to call it inflation. Maybe you want to call it reflation. It's all insanity is what it is at the end of the day. And this broadens your portfolio. It offers diversification. And I believe these are in the midst of a bull market because we have never been in this type of experiment before. It's global. It's not just here in the United States. It's not just Europe. It's not isolated to Japan. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. The VIX gained 17% today and is now trading at $21.09. Deutsche Bank, I know we haven't talked about this bank in a while, but they shed nearly 7% today and are trading at $6.95 a share. This can get out of hand very quickly, ladies and gentlemen, because we are also seeing iron ore in a bear market. We like to talk about the commodities here as leading indicators because that's what primes the economy. You need energy, you need steel, you need iron ore, you need aluminum, you need copper, lumber, you need building materials. If the price is going down, it's indicative of a slowing global economy because these are global commodities. They are all in down trends. Iron ore is in a bear market, technically speaking, down 20% from a recent high. Global economy is slowing down. A trade deal isn't going to save this. That's smoke and mirrors. That's more geopolitical than it is economics. Soybeans, wheat, chickens, pork. I mean, you think that's going to increase GDP by 12%? It ain't going to happen, folks. It's not how it is. This is a story, this is a charade, and it's bad policy to get involved in these trade wars, believe me, because it's tit for tat. We increase tariffs, they increase tariffs. We cut something off, they cut something off. Back and forth we go. This is the problem with it. It's a never-ending cycle. Never-ending cycle. It's just not good policy. All this is doing is exacerbating the problem. This is not the root cause of the problem. It's a convenient excuse. It is another scapegoat for Donald Trump and the administration to blame China. And it's also an excuse for China to blame the United States if they want to play that game too. This is not good leadership. This is not good economic policy. It's just not. I understand what the president wants to do net-net in totality. A lot of that is good. He wants to bring jobs back to this country. Look, people left because of the poor policies that we have enacted and implemented and lived through in this country. It's easier to blame the Chinese. It's easier to blame illegal immigrants than it is to say, well, we messed up. We voted for the wrong people. It's harder for people, for us to admit our mistakes. It's easier to blame somebody else. Surely my problem couldn't be my fault. It has to be somebody else's. This is a lack of leadership. This is a lack of responsibility. And no wonder in the society we live in that the things that we witness on a daily basis are the things that we witness on a daily basis. We have Argentina. This is one of these black swan events that could happen. These are these emerging economies, emerging markets out there that, you know, things just happen that nobody's expecting or anticipating to this degree. Well, there was an election that went the way that the markets were not anticipating, and the Argentina market lost 48% today in dollar terms. 48%. Their currency, the peso, is at an all-time low against the U.S. dollar. This happened today. This is what can happen overnight. This is what I'm telling you. You know, we kickstarted this podcast off back in February in a very early series that we were talking about, because it was obviously back in February, early in 2019, was the 30 market risks for 2019. And that list was compiled by Deutsche Bank. And remember, point number 31 that we added to the list, of course, was the failure of Deutsche Bank. Because there was no way that Deutsche Bank was going to say, yeah, we might collapse. There was no way they were going to say that. But I have no problem saying that, because that's quite the possibility. So again, you have Deutsche Bank down nearly 8% today. They are going to be laying off 18,000 people up until the year 2022, I believe it was. We've had that podcast, that discussion. Like I said then, like I'm going to tell you right now, they ain't ever going to make it. Those 18,000 people will be gone before you know it. They ain't going to do this slowly. They're not going to be able to. You have negative interest rates. Negative interest rates. How can a bank make money? They're not. This is why you have zombie companies all over the world. And what are central banks going to do to remedy this? They're just going to keep cutting interest rates. How can this be a viable solution? How can people not be aware of this? That's the joke of all of this, that nobody knows. Nobody knows, and if they do, nobody's doing anything about it. Where are the politicians talking about this stuff? Not a single one. Oh, yeah. We're bringing in billions and billions of dollars from the Chinese, which, of course, is a bunch of BS. You're paying it. I'm paying it. Importers in this country are paying it. But guess what? We needed to increase our debt ceiling. Because I guess $800 billion deficits per year isn't enough. We got to make it about $1 trillion, which is exactly what they're going to be. Because we have a wider budget deficit than was anticipated today. That news came out as well. And I do believe where we stand currently today is greater than in the entirety of last year. So our deficit today, as it stands right now, is greater than the entirety of last year. And we still have the rest of August and September to get through, because the fiscal government year ends at the end of September. So fantastic. Fantastic news. Is that what you voted in Donald Trump for? It wasn't what I voted for the man for. Not for a second. Not to increase the debt like Barack Obama. I mean, just give Barack Obama another 4 years. Just shred it. I mean, forget about the caps on the presidency. Just keep Obama in there if you just wanted to continue priming the pump. That's all you wanted to do, because he's telling the Federal Reserve, hey, keep doing what you did under Obama. Continue with low interest rates that caused all of this malinvestment. Continue with quantitative easing that caused all of this malinvestment. Continue doing it. And continue with trillion-dollar deficits, because that's just a recipe for success. It's not, folks. It's a recipe for disaster, and it's going to be a big disaster. Now, we have that geopolitical event in the markets with Argentina. We're going to see how that continues to trade tomorrow. And we're also going to look around the world right now to see what's going on. But you also have Hong Kong. You have those protests that are continuing. And a lot of this now is for the concern that mainland China is going to have basically a bigger say in the lives and affairs of the people of Hong Kong. And the people of Hong Kong don't like that. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if the United States is involved in these protests. I mean, why wouldn't we be? That would be par for the course. We stage coups and riots all over the place. I mean, we're overtly, I mean, it's on TV down there with the Maduro regime in Venezuela. So, I mean, this isn't conspiratorial. This is on TV. This is right in your face. So why would it be a stretch to think, well, we're doing an overt coup on CNN down there in Venezuela. We're saber-rattling with the Iranians. Why would it be a far stretch to believe that we are also staging some type of protest in Hong Kong in the midst of a trade war? You get the pressure? You get the picture here? This is geopolitics here. This has a lot more to do with geopolitics than it does economics. You get the gist of what's going on here? Don't allow them to lie to you. Don't just read a headline and think, oh, well, that must be true because it's in the newspaper. Or because some handsome guy or pretty woman with a teleprompter in front of him tells you with a smile. That's not how it works. Use your head. You have one. All right, around the world with some of these stock markets, as some of them are trading right now. We have the Japanese market down 250 points, currently down 1.25%. The Chinese markets are down 0.75%. The South Korean market, while it did pick up a little rebound in Monday's trading, currently, obviously, over there, it is Tuesday. They are now down 0.75%. And remember, folks, the South Korean market, in my opinion, is a strong and valid leading indicator for global growth or global slowdown. And it is now trading at levels below where it was trading late last year when markets around the world were experiencing a bear market. We also have the Hong Kong markets, no surprise, are down 400 points right now in the midst of all of this political mayhem, which is a loss of 1.65%. Now, again, this is intraday. Anything could happen, but I just like to keep you guys updated at the time of these podcasts when I do these later in the evening. This is what is taking place over in Asia. Some headline can turn. That's how these markets still operate. But nevertheless, to me, it is tilted towards the downside. Now, we have Europe. We have some interesting data coming out this week. I think the main focus is going to be on Germany because they are the quote-unquote powerhouse, power horse, if you will, whatever you want to say, to the European engine. Well, you know, I hate to break it to you, but, you know, I don't think they're as strong as everybody thinks, and I think that could be almost a black swan in and of itself. There's going to be a lot of calls, I think, for Germany, the German government, to embark on a whole bunch of fiscal measures to, quote-unquote, stimulate the economy. The Germans are very aware of inflation and hyperinflation. I mean, you got to give it to the Germans on that. I mean, that was 100 years ago, but they remember, boy. They remember, and they are very careful to make sure that they don't go crazy with, quote-unquote, stimulus, priming the pump, trying to create some type of inflation. It's very dangerous. It's detrimental to an economy. They understand that. They're very careful with it, which is probably another reason why it wasn't a German who is going to be the next president of the ECB, the European Central Bank, because a lot of people were saying, well, now, you know, it's time for austerity. The Germans are the powerhouse of the European Union. They're going to want to throw their weight around, maybe do a little bit more austerity, get things in order. Nope, that ain't happening. It's not a German. It's a French woman. It's Christine Lagarde, the former managing director of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. And she is an advocate and supporter and lover of negative interest rates. So, current president of the ECB, Mario Draghi, will be stepping aside in October, which again coincides very nicely with the Brexit disaster. that ain't going to end well, folks. Believe me when I tell you. I'm already sick and tired of talking about it. We've covered it many times here. I will continue to have other podcasts on it, but this is a true shame to the word and institution of democracy. But this is not going to be pretty for the markets. And you see the British pound getting decimated over the course of the past few weeks, hitting multi-year lows against the basket of currencies on the anticipation that there is going to be a Brexit, but a no-deal Brexit. That is not going to bode well for the UK. It's not going to bode well for the European Union. We know this. We've said this. But it is the right thing to do for the British people at the end of the day. It truly is. They are a sovereign nation. They need to be in control of their own destiny. Furthermore, for a little context, like I always like to put on this show, they got through World War I. They got through World War II. They got through a whole host of domestic and international issues. They will get through this as well. But you know what? It's going to be in the midst of a huge backdrop of a whole host of other things that is taking place, and we talk about those here every single day. So be prepared, folks. Be prepared is all I tell you. Be diversified. Do your homework and stick with the Capital News on this stuff, because it's just, you have to understand that most people are just walking along. They have no clue. They have no clue. And now it's football season. So now they're completely screwed. Because now they're going to be glued to Monday night football, Thursday night football, Friday night football, Saturday night, Sunday night. They're done. These people are done. It's football season. It's game, set, match. But now to Jeffrey Epstein, a man who was put on suicide watch, what, a week ago? Somehow convinced the psychiatrists and psychologists there at the prison that he was fit to go back to his normal cell, if you will. And he allegedly commits suicide in a maximum security prison that was also the home of El Chapo, the billionaire drug lord, many times over, a billionaire many times over. Now, El Chapo got out of more places than Houdini. He didn't escape. He wasn't killed. He didn't commit suicide. They can handle him, but Jeffrey Epstein, an interesting case, isn't it? Now, of course, you have a whole bunch of conspiracy theories flying around on the internet. That's no surprise. Even the president of the United States sort of gave a little weight to, could be. Maybe the Clintons are involved somehow. I mean, it's something to, I mean, I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a fan at all of the Clintons. I mean, how many people have the Clintons known that could have done some sort of damage to them that have ended up dead? You know, suicide by two bullets to the back of the head, that type of deal. I mean, how many times is this going to happen before people start to wake up? And it appears that this might be it. This might be the time where the vast majority of Americans might just be waking up and saying, there's no way this guy killed himself or something was amiss. If he did, who slipped him the rope? Who slipped him the knife? Who slipped him the pill? Something, right? What happened? What happened? Because here's what it comes down to, folks. There's no doubt that this guy was a creep, a criminal of the highest order. I mean, this sex trafficking is disgusting. The pedophilia, and you have to remember from previous podcasts and discussions that we've done on here, telling you that something like this was going to happen. I've been telling you because Donald Trump has been mentioning these things. He just doesn't come out and give vast speeches on it. He threw these things in there, the sex trafficking, the human trafficking element that he throws in there when he talks about illegal immigration and the need for a wall on the border. I mean, it might get you going. You might not like it, but guess what? There's reality to that. There's reality to the human trafficking and the sex trafficking element of it. And it's an evil act, period, end of story. And where are the Democrats on this? They never talk about it. The bleeding heart liberals never mention this. Never. They're concerned about children being separated from their parents and put into quote-unquote cages, but they couldn't care less about the human trafficking and the sex trafficking that takes place on a daily basis of people trying to get in this country. That's a disgrace. They should be ashamed of themselves, but of course they're not. So I told you something like this was going to happen, and it has. Now, I just think this is the tip of the iceberg, because clearly somebody had this guy killed. Clearly. There is foul play here. Whether he did it himself, you know, whatever. There is foul play here. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The question becomes, who is they? And they clearly, whoever they might be, did some cost-benefit analysis on this. I mean, they would have had to have. They would have said, well, what do we do? Do we roll the dice and let this guy talk? Do we try to discredit him? Or do we just, we off him because he knows too much? Well, clearly they offed him. He's gone. So whatever this guy knows or knew, it was too much. And their cost benefit was like, we got to break into a maximum security prison, or the powers that be knew who was in there, knew what palms needed to be greased, and they got it done. Because the cost benefit analysis was like, this guy is more valuable to us dead than he is alive. And that's exactly what happened. Now, who might some of these other people be? We already know from the Nexium case, that sex cult, there are very powerful people. There are politicians, there are celebrities, and you can bet your bottom dollar that there are probably CEOs and executives of major corporations all involved with this some way or another. Now, not all of them, clearly not all of them, but there is a group of people that must be well known that are shaking in their boots right now. They have to be, because you just know from the media, the pictures, the events that this guy was with. Now, of course, I'm talking about Epstein, the people he was with, the Clintons, the pictures with the Trumps, the picture with a whole bunch of host of people. I think there is probably a very dark element that exists in this country. Well, there most definitely is. There most definitely is. The problem is, it's going to involve, or it has involved, a lot of people that a lot of people look up to. It's going to be celebrities. It's going to be executives. It could be athletes, politicians on both sides. This is not a partisan issue here. And it's disgusting. But clearly, something, this case is the tip of the iceberg. Believe me when I tell you, because something is going to come of this. There's an investigation. I don't want to jump the gun on anything. I'm not an investigative journalist. I'm a commentator. So I don't have any other insights other than to say whoever the powers that be that wanted this guy killed did some cost-benefit analysis, and he was more valuable to them dead than alive. So that should tell you something. Tip of the iceberg as far as I'm concerned. Attorney General Bill Barr says there needs to be an investigation. Well, there better be an investigation, and the American people better be made aware as to those findings. And it better not be some sort of cover-up, whitewash, anything. The two-tier justice system in this country can no longer exist. It can't. It can no longer exist. I hope the President of the United States and his administration can really bring an end to the two-tier justice system. They can shed some light on this case and a whole host of others. Because there are people around this country who have suffered this evil, and they deserve justice. We'll keep you updated. This is the Capital News. I am Alex Kritis. Godspeed.